in our study called The Truth About Giving. We're in Lesson 6, for those of you who have the book. We're talking about purposing in our heart. But just as a reminder of what we're doing with this particular study, the intent of this study is for us to gain scriptural truth about our giving. It's that we need to be reminded, we need to remember that giving is just as important to our salvation as any other of the things like baptism and such. You know, that one of the things that we've talked about some in this class is you go back to the story of the rich young ruler, and here's a man who, you know, was doing everything right religiously, recognized by Jesus. You know, he was keeping the commandments and such, and yet Jesus told him there was still one thing that he lacked in terms of that thing that would keep him from eternal life, and that was his attitude toward money and toward giving. And so we have to understand that it is it's a salvation issue. And that's why it's important for us to, you know, study this topic like any other topic that we would study. So keep that in mind throughout the remainder of this study as we go through it. How many of you ever been to one of those timeshare things? You know, you go and, you know, they send you an offer and you go for the weekend. And usually when you get those things, it has something to do with they put you up there in a resort or in a hotel for 2-3 days and, you know, maybe give you some gift certificates for dinner at some local restaurants or whatever, and you've got to listen to, you know, the sales pitch, you know, and of course you're committed to 90 minutes, but how many of you have ever been on one of those and it was only 90 minutes? You know, they want to stretch that thing out as long as possible. And when you tell them no, you're not going to buy, you know, and so forth, then what do they typically do? If you've been on, you know, they, oh, well, you know, we got this offer, we got that offer, and, you know, they keep lowering the price, all trying to, you know, get you to pay thousands of dollars for 1 week a year at this particular resort or what have you. Cindy and I went to one several years ago. We used to do that just for weekend vacations, weekend getaway. And we went to one in Myrtle Beach several years ago. And, you know, we you know, had a great time over the weekend. We went to the sales pitch and doing all the whole thing and everything. And we just kept telling the guy, said, no, I'm just not interested, you know. And finally the guy says, you look at all the lines there and everything. He says, why wouldn't you want to come and be able to spend your vacations here? And I said, well, let me put it to you this way. We used to live in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. He said, I understand. end of the sales pitch. But, you know, you know, there's really two outcomes that can come from those kind of things. There's those who end up, even though they went to it, say, no, we're not going to buy this. We're just going to enjoy the weekend on their dime. But yet end up, you know, putting forth the money and going ahead and buying into the thing. And then there are those who are able to say no and enjoy the mini vacation on the resort's dime. What's the difference in those two outcomes? Well, the difference is that one person or one couple's resolve gave way under the sales pressure. And the other couple purposed in their hearts, and their resolve was able to stand firm. So let's talk about this whole idea of giving with a purpose, or purposing in our hearts. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 6 through 12. Turn your Bible there, where we're going to begin this morning. And let's notice some important things about giving in general.
Amen.
All right, that the Apostle Paul tells us, and we look at this whole idea of giving with a purpose. Notice that he says here, he begins in this section, whoever sows sparingly, the result is going to be that they will reap sparingly. But also, whoever sows generously, he says, is going to reap generously. So how we sow, either generously or sparingly, we're going to get that. I mean, we've talked about in different classes, different times before, the laws of sowing and reaping. And the very first law, the three laws of sowing and reaping, is what? You reap what you sow. Okay? You always reap what you sow. And so he starts out making sure that we understand that if our giving, our attitude toward giving is sparingly, in other words, I think, you know, the idea of giving just enough to get by, then that's what we're going to get back. But if we sow generously, we're going to be given much back. He says, secondly, each man should give, and depending on the translation you have, some as he has purpose in his heart, or what he has decided in his heart to give. So we need to, he says, we've got to decide in our heart, and the idea is beforehand, we'll talk about that more in just a moment, but it's a decision that we need to make in our heart as to what we are going to give. And that decision needs to be made not reluctantly, and certainly not under force or compulsion, the word that he uses here, but rather we need to make that decision from the heart in a cheerful manner, with a cheerful heart. Amen. I'm glad to be able to give. Amen. Okay? And then think about these promises, all right, that Paul makes based on this attitude of our giving. All right, that when we sow generously, we're going to reap generously. When we give, you know, purposeful from our heart in a cheerful way, he says, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, what's the next thing he says here? Having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Oh, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 9:6-12. So, you know, one of the things that we have to understand here is when we are, you know, when we're giving generously, we're sowing generously, and we're doing it from the heart in a cheerful way, the promise here is that God's going to make sure that we have all that we need. Okay, the promise is not for all that we want. It's for all that we need, having all that you need. He goes on to say, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. That's a promise. Do you believe that? Okay, that's a promise to be either accepted or rejected. He further goes on to say, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So again, here's a promise. You'll be made rich in every way. Why will you be made rich? So you can go out and buy all kinds of stuff and spend it all on yourself? No, so that you can be what? Generous to other people, you see. That God wants to bless you. And then finally, he says, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. So, again, part of the result of us giving from the heart, generously, you say, cheerfully, is that there's a lot of thanksgiving that is given to God, because of what we are doing. So God is being glorified in our giving. Isn't that a great reason for us to make sure that we are giving the way that we should, so that Amen. God is glorified? So we look at that verse and break it down, and we see there's some instruction here in terms of what our attitude should be about our giving, but also there's some promises that God gives to us here. concerning our giving, when we are giving the right way. So let's talk about this idea of purposing in our hearts, this statement. As again, some translations say, as he purposed in his heart, or as he has decided in his heart, or what he has decided in his heart. In the original language, it literally says, each one as he has chosen in his heart. Okay? So, in other words, what we need to understand from that word that is used here is that our giving is a, help me out, a choice, thank you. It is a choice that we make. Okay? And when we make choices, we can either make good choices or we can make bad choices, can't we? Mm-hmm. Okay? But we need to understand that when we give to the Lord, it involves us making a choice. Not just about how much we're to give, but what our attitude about our giving is. You say, whether we're giving it from the heart or what have you. The word that is used in the Greek language, and I'm not even sure how specifically to pronounce this word, I think it is prokeokoneo, and that word in the Greek language means to choose before. Mm-hmm. Okay, so not only is our giving a choice, but what Paul is talking about here, when he's talking about this idea of purposing in our heart, okay, or deciding what we're going to give, he's talking about doing that beforehand.
Amen.
All right? Turn over your Bible. Keep your finger right here, but turn over your Bible to Acts chapter 10. Now, Peter is at the household of Cornelius, and he's, you know, talking to Cornelius, his household, and so forth. And notice in this one statement here, this is verse 41. As Peter is kind of going through and explaining to Cornelius and his household some things, he says, concerning Jesus, after he was raised from the dead, he said, he was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's the same word that is used over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. All right? Same word. And so the importance here, the thing that I really want to drive home to you is that this is a choice that is to be made beforehand. Okay? It is a choice ahead of time that is made, not a spur of the moment, you know, at the time that I make a decision what to give while the collection plate's coming down the seat, but it is something that we do beforehand. Okay? We purpose or decide in the heart what we're going to give.
Yeah.
It is a matter of deciding before we even have the money.
Amen.
Okay? Before you have money, you say, wait a minute, Russ, how can I decide how much I'm going to give if I got to decide before I even have the money? How am I going to know what to give? What's the answer to that? We've already been talking about this. The answer is you don't decide based on a dollar amount. You decide based on a percentage. Okay, and in the previous lessons, we've already talked about tithing, right? As a baseline or a minimum, because God, you know, always required at least 10%. Okay, so we've already discussed that part. So here's the idea. If you decide beforehand that you are going to give a percentage, okay, then the only thing you have to decide at the moment, okay, at any given time, is you guys just got to make the calculation. Okay? So if you say, I'm going to give 10% of, you know, of whatever income I have, then that's really easy to calculate. If you've got $100, how much are you going to get? $10. You say, there's no, you know, trying to figure anything out. It's just calculate 10% of whatever that amount is. The reason that this is so important is because it really is easy to calculate the percentage. And the other part of that is that the dollar amount is not always going to be the same. Okay? But if the percentage amount is always the same, then it doesn't matter what the dollar amount of your income is.
That's right.
You see? It's an easy calculation. Just to give you an example, you know, Cindy and I have already purposed in our hearts that we give a certain amount, a percentage, out of our income. Well, you know, last 2 weeks ago, we weren't here, right? I was preaching over at Glen Allen. Well, last week, I got a mail. I got a check from him. And it wasn't a huge check, but it was a check nonetheless. What am I going to do with it? Is that income? Let me ask you that question.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
There it is. It's extra income. Say, now, you know, we could just kind of go, oh, this is extra stuff here. Let me think, what am I going to spend this money on? Okay? But, you know, the calculation's really easy. If I've already decided, purposed in my heart, decided beforehand what it's going to be, I just take that and add that to my contribution.
Okay?
You say, take that percentage.
Let me take this purpose in
my heart,
okay?
Blessing you weren't even expecting yet. And the key to it is that you do that when? Beforehand. You see, you do that beforehand. But, you know, when you do it on a percentage basis, as I said before, and I use that term a baseline, you know, in other words, that's the minimum that it's going to be. And that's an easy way to figure out, you know, what's the, you know, if I'm going to give generously, what's the at the very least, it's going to be this. And when I get that extra or whatever it might be, you know, I can look at it and go, but, you know, this is a gift that fell in my lap. I don't give all of it or whatever the case may be. So, but I want to encourage you to think about it in terms of, again, setting a baseline at least for all of your giving, and then you can go from there, you know, with that. But that baseline, and also, you know, where do we, you know, what does all this need to be set up against, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, there Paul tells us each one of you should set aside a sum in keeping with his income. Okay? So whatever it is we decide beforehand, whatever we purpose in our hearts, whether it's 10%, 12%, 20%, 50%, it doesn't matter. Whatever that is, you do it beforehand. It needs to be done in keeping with your income. Now, let's talk about income for a moment, okay? What is income? What money is coming in? How much of it? All of it is income, right?
Right.
So, in other words, you have your paycheck that you get from your job, right? Those of you who are still working, you're tired, you get a retirement check or whatever. And that is income, right?
Man.
Okay. Suppose you do a little extra work on the side, a little side job with somebody, you know, what have you. Is that income?
Yeah.
Sure it is. What if you hold a garage sale? Is that income?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, all of these kinds of things that we would do where we would get extra money, right? That's income, is it not?
Yeah.
But think about it, let's be honest. How do we typically think of that kind of extra stuff? Yeah, it's what? Let me say?
Free money.
Right. This is mine. Okay, let's be honest. This is mine. Okay, this didn't come from my employer. This, you know, I sold this and, you know, or I, you know, had this garage sale. We made, you know, an extra, some money here. And we get to use this. What are we, we're going to use this for our vacation. How much of it are you going to use for your vacation? All of it, of course. Why? Because it's mine. When we don't think of, and I think I would suggest to you to think of it in terms of blessings, not just income. Okay? Where did all of that extra free money come from?
From God.
Okay? In other words, if you think about it, you had a garage sale and you sold everything and you made lots of money. Why was your garage sale so successful?
Where did the stuff come from to begin with?
Yeah, where did the stuff you had to sell come from to begin with? Came from God. Okay, you got finished using it, and God did he not bless you with a successful garage sale so you could get rid of all this stuff and pass it on so it'll fill up somebody else's garage or shit, right? And you made money off of it in the process. So God blessed you with that. You could have just as easily sat out there on Saturday morning all morning and not sold hardly anything. Because God arranged for these folks down the road who are really more faithful to him than you are to have a garage sale. And everybody was going to their sale, and so you didn't sell anything. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. See, a major part of this deciding beforehand has to do with recognizing where our blessings come from to begin with, so that we realize that everything that I get comes from God, so therefore everything that I get is income. Okay? Not just the stuff that I get from my paycheck. And then, you see, that also eliminates another issue that we talked about a few weeks ago in one of the other lessons the guys were talking about. You know, the whole question is, do I give out of my gross or out of my net, or my paycheck? You know, which one do I give out of? Well, it's all income, you see. And so if we're going to start trying to divide and separate in that kind of a way over things, then when we get that extra windfall of, you know, a rebate check that we completely forgot about or something that we bought 5 or 6 months ago, you know, and we get that rebate check and all of a sudden we go, ooh, we're in here. Free money. And we don't even consider giving any of that back to God. You see, purposing
in our hearts or deciding beforehand keeps circumstances from derailing our giving. And that's another reason why it is so vitally important. Let me ask you this. How often does, quote-unquote, something come up? Okay? Yeah. Yeah, really. I mean, something's always coming up, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, where, you know, we got a repair, you know, the dishwasher broke, or the, you know, the starter went out on the car, or it needs new tires, or whatever. There's always something that's going to come up that's going to require some kind of financial outlay on our behalf. Okay? Now, when that happens, okay, unfortunately, a lot of people take the needed extra from their giving, okay, because they look at all the other areas of their lives as financially obligated. And somehow, you see, we look at those external factors that come about, and we have a hard time recognizing that we have an obligation, and we made an obligation to God that needs to be taken care of. Why, we need to ask the question, why isn't our giving, okay, committed? In other words, why don't we make a commitment that way? If we make a commitment, then the external factors, the things that come up from time to time, sometimes day to day in our lives, are not going to affect our giving. If we purpose in our hearts. But here's the problem. And one of the things that the author in the book suggests, and he puts it this way, that we are scared of commitment. Okay? How many of you would agree with this statement? Your finances are unpredictable. How many of you would agree with that? Probably most of us in here. In other words, you know, even though you have a job, are you guaranteed that your job, you're going to have it tomorrow?
No.
Okay. Well, even if you have it tomorrow, is it possible that perhaps, if, especially if you are an hourly employee, that your hours may change?
Yeah.
Okay. And so when those unexpected expenses come up, those things that just seem to pop up from here and there, for some reason, a lot of people seem to think that God will understand our needs, so he doesn't expect us to commit to a particular giving schedule. Okay? In other words, you know, God understands that, you know, my dishwasher broke down, or my car broke down, or whatever. He understands that these things, and I've only got, you know, I have a quote-unquote fixed income, okay? And so unless you, by the way, you know, people, we talk about that with seniors, they say, well, they're on a fixed income. Aren't most of us on a fixed income? Unless you work on commissions, basically, you're on a fixed income, all right? But the idea here is that we seem to expect that God's going to go, well, okay, yeah, I know your car broke down and it's going to take an extra $300, you know, fix it. You don't have that this week, so you don't have to give to me. That's the attitude that we seem to think that God has. Because God understands, say, our needs. Well, let me ask you this question, okay? How many of you have a cell phone? Okay. Did y'all turn them off, by the way? All right. How many of you have a mortgage payment that you need to pay? How about rent? If you don't have a mortgage, you probably have rent. Everybody? Unless you're living under the stars out in the field somewhere. Okay? Then you probably have to pay the person who's still living there, right? How about utilities? How many of you have regular utility payments? Okay. All of those and many, many more things come with a commitment to pay a certain amount on a regular basis, do they not? Okay? In other words, think about it this way. When you sign on the dotted line for your cell phone contract or your mortgage or your car payment or whatever it is, did you not purpose in your heart that you were going to make that payment every month or whatever interval it is?
Yeah.
Okay? Sure you did. You decided beforehand that, yes, I need or I want this item and I'm going to have to pay this much, you know, in this interval, and you made a commitment to that. Right? Everybody following me? Okay. Well, what happens if you come up short? What happens when that, you know, something happened, you know, something came up, as we've already said, it does so often, and now all of a sudden, you don't have enough money to pay your rent, or your cell phone bill, or your utility bill, or what have you. What do you do? Yeah, and who do we typically rock from? Well, I can make that up next week. Well, guess what happens? Next week something else comes up, you know? And so, you see, our landlord is going to fuss at us if we don't pay our bill on time, right? And if we don't pay by a certain time, then we're going to get a penalty and we're going to pay more. And so I need to pay this, right? And we don't want to get in trouble with our landlord or our cell phone company or turn our phone off or whatever the thing is. So you say, wait a minute, am I not supposed to pay my rent? Am I not supposed to pay for these things, my car payment and all that I made these obligations to? Am I not supposed to, as a Christian, keep these obligations? What's the answer to that? Yes. But is God any less for that than your landlord because you didn't pay him? Okay. In other words, if we have the attitude that says, well, you know, okay, something came up and I got to pay my rent, got to pay my utilities, got to pay my car payment, all these things, and so where am I going to get the extra money? Well, I've got this much that I was going to give to God this week, but I've got to pay all these other things, so again, I'll make it up next week, or God understands, or whatever other reason we justify taking the money from God and putting it towards these things, and we somehow expect that God will understand that. We've already looked at, in a previous study, what God has to say about robbing him, Malachi. So, and aren't we doing exactly that when we figure that because God understands, it's okay for us to take what we have already committed to him or should be committed to him and we give it to something or someone else. Okay. When we talked about earlier the whole idea of first fruits giving and so forth, and that when we give something to God, that something, whatever it is, under the old law, they were told to give certain things, and they were to set that apart. In other words, it was holy to the Lord. That's part of the meaning of holy. So in other words, the idea was you decide out of your flock of lambs that this is the lamb you're going to give to the Lord. It's a lamb without what? Without spot or defect or any other blemish. And this is the one I'm going to use for the sacrifice of the Lord. And before you can offer that sacrifice, this little lamb over here trips and breaks his leg. And you go, I can offer this one. It's a broken leg anyway. Not much good for anything. So I'll switch these out. And not only do you violate where you're offering not only something that's blemished, but you are offering, you're taking that which you have already dedicated to the Lord, set aside as holy to him, and you're taking it back from him and offering him something else in its place. Okay? And so when we say, well, I'm going to give this to the Lord, and something comes up, and we take that back from the Lord that we have already designated as holy, and we give something else in its place, are we not robbing God? You see? And again, that's part of the reason, hold on one second, Ray, that's part of the reason for this whole idea of deciding in your heart beforehand, purposing in your heart. Then when something comes up, okay, well, I've already decided in my heart, this goes to the Lord. And I'll be honest with you, the last person in the world that I want to be upset with me about not making a payment is God. Okay? Alright? You know, let the landlord, you know, they'll fuss about it and I'll pay the penalty or whatever, but, you know, I'd rather have my landlord upset with me than God upset with me. I'm just throwing that out there for you. Okay? Ready?
I've always been a little different. My wife and I, we purchased a big ticket item. Particularly a car, trying to make sure that it won't interfere with my giving to the Lord, because you know you can buy a car that you can't afford,
or house, or
house,
or
anything else, I always wanted to make sure that the Lord, the money was there first, and. You know, the car baby is going to be there. You're going to have 60 of them, 72 of them, or whatever you get. You need to make sure that the Lord's money is not going to be affected by you not, by you getting something that you can't afford. And I mean, we can do that. But I always try to make that situation, let's put it this way, not have that situation.
Right. Yeah.
You know, make sure that I give.
And something you said, Treasurer Ballmeyer, you know, you talk about these 60 payments or 72, whatever I finance this thing for. How many of y'all ever, you financing your car or whatever, ever make any extra payments? You know, try to get that interest rate, you know, get that principal down rather a little bit early, ever do that? How many of you ever made extra payments as well? I'm just saying, okay? I'm just throwing that out there. I'll be charging anything extra for that this morning. Let's finish up here, all right? The value of purposing in our heart, okay, this whole idea of choosing beforehand helps us to avoid temptation. And you go over to Daniel and look at the story of Daniel as a great example of this. In Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, you know, Daniel and, you know, the Israelites were taken captive, and they were, you know, they were going to be used in the king's service and so forth, and so, you know, they're going to be prepared for this by, you know, certain foods and so forth. But here's what it says in verse 8 of Daniel chapter 1. Daniel is faced with, you know, being fed all this food and so forth that was unclean. It says, Daniel resolved not to defile himself with royal food and wine.
Man.
Okay? So in other words, Daniel decided beforehand, before the food was even put before him, he decided that he would not eat this food. So that when it was put there, he wasn't going to be tempted, and he could be strong in his resolve. In other words, Daniel was able to reject the unclean food based on his prior decision. Okay? The decision that he had already made before he got there, what he was going to do. And God knows that money has a lot of power in our lives. But when we decide a course of action before we have the money, then that will help to keep ourselves on the right track. Let me close with this example to you. Cindy and I went on a cruise for our anniversary. We've been on one. It was great. Okay? And on the cruise ship, they have a gambling casino in there, the slot machines. I've never played a slot machine in my life. Never really had a whole lot of desire to play a slot machine. But, you know, we on the cruise, we said, let's just see what it's about. We made a decision beforehand where we said, we committed to each other, $5 for each of us was all we were going to spend. We were not going to spend any more than that. So we went into the slot machine room in there, and we tried out the slot machines just for the experience. And guess how much money we each spent in there?
More than $5.
We lost all of our $5, okay? But we didn't spend any more than $5 each. That was it. Why? Because we purposed in our heart beforehand that that was all we were going to do. And so when the temptation is, a little bit more, no? Make it. We purpose in our heart. And that's a way that, you know, temptation can be avoided when we decide beforehand, when that something comes up or whatever that would tempt us to take from God and give to somebody else or whatever the circumstance might be. We've already purposed in our heart and we're going to be able to speak to it. All right? Okay, that's all we got today. Jeremy's going to be teaching class next week on... No, we just talked about it. Okay. All right. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, brother.